This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, September 17th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Tariff critics claim concessions, concerns over U.S.-China trade talks, and small refinery exemption proposal has backers and detractors. House GOP punts future tariff votes again in the face of pushback. President Donald Trump's trade policy has survived another challenge on Capitol Hill, but this time Republican tariff critics say they've secured some concessions. The House voted yesterday to block any votes on challenges to the Trump administration tariffs until at least March of 2026. GOP leadership had to keep the vote open for more than 30 minutes while they cajole several GOP holdouts. Nebraska Representative Don Bacon and Representatives Jay Obernolte and Tom McClintock of California eventually switched their no votes to ensure the rule's passage. The language was included in the floor rule for a D.C. crime bill. A staffer for McClintock's office told AgriPulse he switched his vote after receiving assurances from House Speaker Mike Johnson that he would bring another rule to the floor this week to shorten the extension until January 31st. Bacon said the language to address their concerns could be added to a rule vote scheduled for today. GOP leadership also agreed to set up a GOP tariff working group. Bacon said he expects to sit on the panel, which will also look at Congress' role in tariff policy making. Now take note, the vote yesterday was the second in as many days in which House Republicans have narrowly blocked Democratic efforts to end tariffs. On Monday, the House nixed a push to end the tariffs on Brazil in a 200-198 vote. Sluggish China talks weigh on U.S. ag sector. U.S. and Chinese officials left meetings in Madrid this week without advancing talks on the high cross-border tariffs on each other's exports, dashing hopes from U.S. agriculture for trade relief. We're deeply disappointed that ag didn't seem to make the discussions, Tim Lust, CEO of the National Sorghum Producers, told AgriPulse. We realize that the China-U.S. relationship is complex, but sorghum farmers need markets. U.S. sellers had no outstanding Chinese bookings for sorghum, soybeans, corn, and wheat as the beginning of the month. Chinese buyers have avoided U.S. commodities. Lust says he's hoping the two sides reach a deal soon to kickstart sales. Many of the commodities are set for harvest in the coming weeks. We're at a critical time here, he said, adding that the situation is a huge concern for growers. You can read more on China's lackluster ag purchases in this week's newsletter. Corn Industry Group: labeling laws could cost consumers. An analysis commissioned by the Corn Refiners Association suggests new state food labeling requirements in Texas and Louisiana could lead to significantly higher costs for consumers. The report from the Policy Navigation Group suggests out-of-pocket expenses for households in Texas could increase by $2,200 annually as a result of a new labeling law enacted in the state. Households in Louisiana may have to shell out over $900 more a year. Consumers face the prospect of a sharp increase in food prices due to policy changes authorized by state legislatures, CRA CEO John Bode said in a release. He continued, "It is critical that the costs and benefits of food supply policy changes are purposely assessed before increased costs are imposed on consumers." Why it matters? Well, policies like these would have little chance of getting through Congress as it stands now, but pressure on the industry and the federal government will only build if the Make America Healthy Again movement continues to make progress at the state level. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Withdrawal of meat and poultry pollution proposal prompts lawsuit. The Trump administration's decision not to limit water pollution from meat and poultry slaughterhouses being challenged by environmental groups. 10 organizations have filed a petition asking the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco to review the August 28th decision by EPA to withdraw a 2024 proposed discharge rule. A constant decree in previous litigation led to the original proposal last year. Their proposal would have, for the first time, imposed limits on phosphorus pollution from 126 meat industry plants across the U.S., the environmental groups say in a news release. If implemented, it would have eliminated at least 8 million pounds of phosphorus and 9 million pounds of nitrogen and other pollutants, including fecal bacteria and grease. The petition was filed by Environmental Integrity Project and Earth Justice on behalf of groups including the Rural Empowerment Association for Community Help, Food and Water Watch, and the Center for Biological Diversity. Small refinery exemption proposal has backers and detractors. Biofuels advocates are praising an EPA proposal to reallocate biofuel volumes exempted from the renewable fuel standard. In the proposed issue, the EPA said it would reallocate either 50 or 100% of volumes exempted in the 2023 and 24, as well as those expected to be covered by small refinery exemptions in 2025. EPA is issuing a solid proposal, said Paul Winters, director of the Public Affairs and Communications at Clean Fuels Alliance America. Summit seeks to advance carbon pipeline in Iowa. Summit Carbon Solutions is facing a raft of setbacks in its goal to build nearly $10 billion carbon pipeline through prime U.S. farmland across multiple states. Now the company is asking Iowa to change its conditional approval of the project. In a new filing with the Iowa Utilities Commission, Summit wants the state to remove the language requiring that South Dakota and North Dakota approve the pipeline before construction can begin in Iowa. The company instead wants the petition to say that building can't start until Summit has, quote, secured access to one or more sequestration sites and permits or agreements to allow it to reach such storage. Summit is also seeking changes regarding the pipeline, the pipe size, and the route of the carbon trapping and storage project. The request follows two rejections of the project by South Dakota, most recently in April, amid fierce opposition from some landowners, including farmers, over concerns about safety and property rights. Summit's aim is to capture and ultimately store in North Dakota carbon dioxide emission from plants making corn-based ethanol. Backers of the pipeline say without it, top corn-producing states like Iowa risk falling behind other regions that can more easily sequester carbon emissions on site due to more favorable geology. Here's today's final word. The lack of sufficient labor at times has prevented us from having the quality products we wish because we can't get the work done. And it's preventing us from growing our business and seizing opportunities that are coming our way. We urgently need a bipartisan legal ag workforce solution. At the word of Michael Franz, president of California-based Franz Wholesale Nursery, speaking at a House Ag Committee hearing on specialty crops. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, September 17th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Elling.